Like what you've heard? Listen again online at drewmarshall.ca. Jesus is coming to glory now. Jesus is coming like a fire story.
Tell you what, this is music day today, folks. We have had so many great and phenomenal artists, and we're finishing it off with some of the best stuff I've heard in a long, long time. George Oliver. Have a listen to this blue-eyed Prince of Soul. We'll be right back with him.
He's coming for those who trusted in him right to the end. So turn from the world, look for the sun, our Savior will
As the lead singer of the legendary R&B band Mandela, George Oliver is a Canadian musical icon, really. He's a prolific writer, producer, and successful recording artist. His career kind of shot to stardom as a lead singer of Mandela with top 10 hits like Opportunity and Give and Take. Having performed on tours with such bands as The Who, Rolling Stones, Cream, George also worked with some of his idols such as Wilson Pickett, Etta James, Sam and Dave, and Martha Reeves. GeorgeOliver.com is where you want to go. That's two L's in Oliver. GeorgeOliver.com, and he joins us live in studio. Good to have you back. I was trying to think when you were here last. Was it last year or
No, it was
before?
About 2 years ago.
Get out of here.
Yeah, it was just after we released our live album.
Man. You know, I hadn't heard you before. I can't remember how we first got connected, but you came in the studio, and okay, sounds good. I still hadn't seen you perform. You said, why don't you come on out and check me out? So I went out a little while later, and man, you blew me away, honestly.
I think that was up Louisiana Seafood.
It was.
Could you tell my James Brown story at the concert?
Yeah, this is hilarious. So I'm sitting there at the James Brown concert, and we're getting ready for the Godfather of Soul to come out, and I'm going to do the big interview that night, and all of a sudden, I look in front of me, and I think I know that head. Tap him on the shoulder. George, what are you doing? So George and I are there, ready to enjoy just an unbelievable evening at James Brown.
5,000 people.
Oh, it was packed and jumping.
We were right together.
Right near each other. And then you went backstage, had a nice little say good day to him, and
amazing,
met him.
Yeah, it was my teenage idol for many years. And to meet him and say a goodbye to him, actually, because it was his last Canadian performance.
Yeah, a few months later, he was gone. His manager said to me, hey, how did the interview go? I said, oh, it was great, you know. And she said, oh, okay, how long did it? I said, well, we went for about 30 minutes, and there was a pause at the end of the phone. 30 minutes? He doesn't give 30 minutes to anybody. Like 10 minutes max kind of stuff. Yeah. It's like he doesn't like interviews.
Yeah.
But we got talking about his spiritual life, and there was a connection, and it just worked. It was an amazing evening for me to meet that man, James Brown. And I've told everybody this since, George, since I saw you perform, I've never seen anybody cover James Brown like you. And for those of you that, like, this is radio, he's a brother from another mother, okay? We're talking about a cracker sitting here who just smoked it, absolutely blew people away. And the moves, dude. Seriously, how do you not pull muscles?
Well, he was a big influence on my thing. But, I mean, I don't do all his moves. But, I throw a few JB things in there.
Oh, man. Unbelievable. Well, from an Anglican church choir in Willowdale to the Cool Cats, that's kind of the beginning, right?
That's right, yeah. That's a long time ago.
Long time ago. How did things go from Whitey and the Roulettes to the house band at Club Blue Note? What was the transition there?
Well, I'd been down to the original Blue Note. This week we're talking middle 60s here. And saw some of the great black talent that was down there, and I was just absolutely blown away, because before that I was a Jerry Lee Lewis fan. I just turned right around and became one of those blue-eyed soul brothers and stuck with it all these years and still love that genre of music. R&B soul.
Yeah. Well, of course, 1966 comes along. You become the Mandela. Al Capone's Hotel and Chess Studios shortly afterward. I mean, that's just, you got to think back about that and just pinch yourself.
Yeah, that was nice to record in Chicago and, you know, stay in that hotel, the Grand National. Al Capone's big hangout.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. And Chess Studio. I mean, seriously, the amount of stuff that went on in that place.
Well, I recorded in the very same vocal booth that Billy Stewart sang Summertime in, which was the number one world hit way back then.
What memories do you have of playing the famous Whiskey a Go-Go in Hollywood, or even the Hullabaloo? Yeah, like can you bring back some memories of that?
Well, it was great. We followed in Diana Ross the first time we went in, and just to be able to perform in a venue like that with all people like the Cream had been there a couple of weeks before, and it was just the mecca of a concert. It was a concert nightclub with a mecca of rock R&B. For that period, it was a real honor to be there.
Hmm. Bear with me for a second, because I don't normally do this. As a matter of fact, I've never read something this big.
Oh, I thought you were going to do a dance move.
No, that ain't going to happen. I've never read something this long when I've been in an interview with somebody else. But this, when I read this, I got a little shiver happening. So I've got to, I know what you're very familiar with. This is an article by Eric Nelson. Check this out, folks. This will set this up right for you, okay? I can't do any better than this. In 1967, I was in my first half-decent band with an outstanding guitar player, Bob Sexton. We liked the Rascals and Paul Revere and the Raiders and played a lot of Chuck Berry-type rock and roll. I was still in high school. We were booked for one of those Battle of the Bands that was so prevalent in the late 60s. This one at the Hullabaloo in Hollywood, later the Aquarius Theater. We were all excited. All of, big-time groups played here, right? So the stage had a revolving circular platform so that several bands could sit up at the same time. Turns out we lost the battle because whoever brought the most friends would win the vote, and we didn't have any friends. This was a Sunday afternoon, and it was after it was over, we decided to hang around and hear the real band that was coming on. Looked like they had a lot of cool equipment, would probably be good. The lights went out, and some announcer said, "On the first day was born." And the drummer started playing a solo. He had a shaggy Beatle haircut, blonde, almost white hair, did great stuff. We thought, wow, pretty good. Then we hear, "On the second day," and the bass player appears playing a fretless bass. I'd never seen that before. He just cooked. And then the guitar player, I remember his sound as really brittle, electric, and fast. I looked over at Sexton and said to him, "Not too bad, not too bad." And then the Hammond B3 player. Now they were just smoking. His B3, as I noticed backstage, was cut down on the audience side so it actually tilted so you could see the keys. The guy really got into playing it. He put his hand to his face like it was killing him. He was just all over the place. The B3 was just screaming. By now, I got goosebumps up and down my arms. The band is playing together, and I'm thinking, gosh, I wonder what's going to happen next. All the guys are wearing these red and white striped suits with black shirts, white ties. Normally, you'd think they look kind of goofy, but not when they played like this. And then, on the fifth day, was born. And this Greek god guy with blonde hair comes out wearing same striped suit. And the first thing you hear is Sly Stone James Brown scream, which I'm not going to try to imitate at all here. One whole note above the note he winds up on. I looked over at Sexton again, and by now we were just grinning at each other. I have no idea what song they started with. They did Sam and Dave things like Hold On, I'm Coming, Knock on Wood by Eddie Floyd, songs that are now R&B standards but were new and current at the time. It was the first time I ever heard Knock on Wood. If they had just played about 7 songs and gone home, they would have been the best band I'd ever heard, including those that played at the Hullabaloo. But between songs, they just never quit playing. George Oliver, the lead singer, would start talking about 5 Steps to Soul. Well, here I am with my girlfriend and the guys in my band. There's no way I'm going to participate. Clap my hand, get up and dance, nothing. But somehow he gets the audience to put your hands together. Then stand up and dance and sing along. And he's got some kind of message. He's saying that people are too afraid of each other. That they're living in bubbles. They can't reach out to each other. So they can't really love each other. They need to learn the 5 steps to soul. Just about done here, George. This is a phenomenal story. Between each song, the message starts coming across, and he's got us in the palm of his hands. He says drugs won't solve it. Laws won't solve it. Only coming together will solve it. I don't remember any details of his message. It was all visceral, general, and overpowering. After maybe 40 minutes of this, he's got people coming up on stage to testify, that is, to dance. Every song is better than the last. Oliver's dancing like James Brown. Huge strobe lights come on across the stage. It's the first time I've ever seen or heard of that. He swings the microphone around in a huge circle, a move later to become a rock staple. It looks frozen in various positions because of the strobe light. Now, as they run around the stage, striped uniforms of black shirts take on strange effects as the strobe lights dominate. Well, you can't strobe forever, so they wind it up with some frenzied song. People are rushing the stage. It's become an actual pandemonium. Oliver throws himself off the stage into the crowd, and people are ripping at his clothes. I see bodyguard-type guys, big guys, rushing out, knocking people's hands off, and pulling him out of the frenzy onto the stage. And during all this, the band is going for broke, just pounding. As soon as they get him off stage, the band does a dramatic but quick ending, and boom, they're done. The lights come up. You see tables turned over, people strewn on the ground, picking themselves up and dusting themselves off, saying, "Man, what was that?" Ladies and gentlemen, that was George Oliver and the Mandela. When you hear that, what goes through your head?
When I read, once in a while, read about the old days and about, you know, what we did with the Mandela, I just realized that all these years, and starting back then, God was training me for this new direction in music. You know, and isn't it funny that it sounds like, you know, a heavy worship team on stage back in the 60s.
Yeah.
But it was a training ground for me, and gave me a lot of experience what I'm doing now.
Unbelievable. I want to play a little YouTube clip. This is a visual for you and I to kind of check out. This is what it was like back in the day. The kids are going bananas. I'm watching George watch this. Watch himself on stage.
I know, those were...
Kids are going nuts.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, our band is...
I'm not doing you yet, babe!
They set things up to be able to do that. But, you know, the music and the kids, they really got into it.
People, the trouble in the world today.
It takes a little while to wind up there.
Yes, ma'am.
But if you go onto YouTube, check this out.
Yeah, it was 1966.
You know they locked up at last.
I want to
tell you.
TV
show is still going.
It's unbelievable.
What's that
younger? I was looking at you, going, "Man, I was all younger." I just wanted to play that for you, just to see you watching it. You know, it's not a wise move to do a YouTube video on a radio show, but anyway, that's something else.
Black and white.
Black and white. Oh yeah. You know, I got to ask you, why did you leave the group in mid-67 to start George Oliver and the Soul Children? I mean, that was it was flying at that time.
Well, actually, if I'd known what was going to happen about 2 months after I left the group, I wouldn't have left. But no, I'd been in the band for 4 years to that point, and I was starving to death. I never made any money. I mean, everything was going to our equipment, to clothes, to limos, and to nice hotels, which is great, but there's no money to show up. So I was getting a little bit itchy at that time, and people were encouraging me to put my own thing together. But, and 2 months after I left, our management landed a recording contract with Atlantic. So, I mean, it was a mistake, but then again,
well,
it wasn't.
In hindsight,
I mean,
though, come on.
Yeah. I had a great time with my solo band, George Oliver and the Children. And unfortunately, the Mandela did break up about 6 months after I left, after they recorded their third single. So, I mean, I guess that's what was meant to be.
Sure, sure. Well, I mean, and then it went from George Oliver and the Children. Is it Soul Children or Children?
Children.
Which one? Okay. Then Natural Gas, mm-hmm. Then the Royals, I think, and George Oliver and the Blue-Eyed Brotherhood.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
It just goes bada-bing, bada-boom.
Yeah,
and your keyboard guy, Yosef, is it Chorosky? Is that?
Joseph Hirofsky.
Right. And yeah. Your drummer, Whitey Glenn, and bassist, Prakash John, they eventually ended up joining a guy who I caught up with about 4 weeks ago up in Barrie, Alice Cooper.
Who I hear is a Christian.
Solid.
And isn't that nice?
Yeah. Anyway,
clashes a little bit with this image, though, doesn't it?
It does. It does. But he said, look, in January, I want to come back on your show, and I'm going to talk about this new song, this new CD. So, yeah. Juno nomination? That must have been just pumping in you.
Well, it was, because it was the first time I'd ever been recognized as an artist producer, and it was wonderful. It was my first solo album, too, which was really, really nice, you know.
Yeah.
I'd had solo groups before.
Yeah.
Through the 70s, but my first solo album in the early 80s, yeah.
You're pretty fortunate, and it's a rare thing for marriages to last as long as yours has. How long have you been married?
25 years. Congratulations. The summer just went by.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I got to congratulate my wife, too, for sticking by.
Oh, for putting up with you?
Well, I mean, professional musicians, I mean, we don't make a lot of money, and there's a lot of time we have to spend getting work and working, so...
Yeah.
Thank you, Pat. Hang in there, girl. I'll make it all worth your while, and so will he.
I can't imagine the emotions going through you after 15 years of not being able to have children. And then in 97, you adopt two children from Russia.
That's right.
That's just a huge story, George.
Well, you know, we were in our late 40s at that point, and we just decided, you know, if we're not going to be able to conceive kids, you know, I mean, let's help some of these kids out that don't have mom and dads. And I hooked up with Huntley Street, and they turned me on to an adoption outfit called Mission of Tears, who were connected to Russia. Away we went 2 years later and brought back two little bundles of joy.
Fantastic.
And I do have an older son, a blood son, that I keep in touch with out of Montreal.
Sure.
But, no, it was a great experience, and it's been a blessing for Pat and I.
We got to talk about life now, because your story, your journey, your life is iconic, but it's you know, we're talking like it's in the past, the old days, and you know you're still firing on all cylinders now. George Oliver and Caught Away, George Oliver and Gangbuster. We got to talk about this award.
Oh, I'm so proud of this. Well, as you know, the Christian scene in Canada musically has been struggling, and I've been struggling against going swimming upstream with it. And I've really, really put my heart and soul in the last 7 years of having this band together and recording and trying to get an album out. And this organization, the Maggi Awards, heard the album, and Gordon Fitzroy, the president, called me up personally and just said, told me how much he enjoyed it. And to me, my thing has always been, as I mentioned earlier, R&B soul music, which is black-oriented music. And... To have that coming from one of the premier organizations in Canada to support R&B Soul, to give me an award like that, and, or to nominate me and then eventually win, was a great honor.
Phenomenal.
Thank you, Maja.
And congratulations, George.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations.
Gospel Song of the Year. I'm very proud.
Hughes Room. Something's going on November 30th.
Well, you know, there's been so much. We just got a nomination for... album and Song of the Year by the Covenant Awards, and I was promoting that and never had a chance to really have a CD release party. So we're having November 30th, we're going to have a release party down at the Hughes Room. I was going to do it at my church, actually, but I thought, well, more of my calling is outside the church and into the mainstream, and I thought, well, this would be appropriate, you know, to have it at the Hughes Room, which is one of the great concerts and nightclubs in Toronto.
You know what, Tim? What I want to do is I want to play that clip, the other YouTube clip that's up there. This is again. I want people to go to YouTube and check out your dance moves in this clip are unbelievable. This is down at like Breakfast Television or something here. So we're gonna bring this clip up and then we're gonna do we're gonna make a little phone call here in a second, and we're gonna get you singing live here. So have a listen to Mr. George Oliver.
Anyway, when the Transcontinental overloads you, just there's no destination too far. There's somewhere down the line. You can find out who you are. Living in America. Hey, hey. Station to station. Living in America. I cause a nation. Good touch. Quebec City.
Vancouver, B.C.
Vancouver, B.C.
Sault Ste. Marie.
Sault Ste. Marie.
We got Thunder Bay.
Thunder Bay.
There's Gananoque.
Gananoque.
Halifax.
Well, you've been listening to George Oliver there, busted out air on breakfast television. You were saying, George, that what time in the morning was?
7 o'clock in the morning.
A little after 7 in the morning.
But as I mentioned, too, we incorporate all that energy and soul and all the dance moves and that dancing horn section into our gospel presentation. And we just were straight.
Man.
Lose a lot of people.
Well, there's another name that's synonymous with yours, a guy that you used to, well, not play with, but, you know, it was almost like a battle of the bands kind of thing back in the day. And I want to bring him on. George, I'd like to introduce you to Skip Prokop. Skip, this is George Oliver.
Hey, brother.
Hey, Skippy, how are you?
Good, bud. How you doing?
Not too bad.
Keeping well?
Yeah, not too bad. You know, we've been motoring along here.
Skip Prokop, of course, founder of the band Lighthouse, and George Oliver with the Mandela. Now, back in the day, Skip, I remember you telling me, it might have been you, George, you know, you guys would be playing on Queen Street, both of you, different clubs, and your fans would actually go out, and there'd be like brawls in the street or something like that.
That's true, and that was in Yorkville.
Yorkville, that's Queen Street.
We were always really good friends because... what the heck was the name of the place that was open all night over there in the Colonnade? We'd all wind up there at 2 or 3
Colonnade Restaurant.
Yeah, having burgers or, you know, whatever. And, you know, I mean, while the gig was going on, these guys would be down at the, were you guys at the Avenue Road Club, I think?
Devil's Den, Avenue Road Club,
yeah,
upstairs.
And we'd be around the corner at the patio or whatever, Boris's Red Gas.
And you had the poppers
back then,
right?
And knocking the crap out of each other, and we're having a great time.
You had the poppers back then, too,
right? That's right.
Unbelievable. You guys, seriously, like, we got two Canadian music icons on the show right now. This is cool for me, man.
Well, Skippy and I just did this... a Shaking All Over gala about a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
We connected up and threw a little bit of our Christianity around to all the people there. It's great.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, you guys are both legends here in Canada and around the world, indeed. And you're both genuine, authentic followers of Christ. How cool is that? Like, who would have thunk it?
Yeah, well, you know, hey, these things happen, eh?
Well, look at Alice Cooper.
I'm digging it.
So, Skip, tell us what's going on. Give us a little update, man.
Right now we're just waiting for Jamie to wrap up the season at East Park here in London, and we're going to get right back into completing the second CD for Mercy Train. We also stumbled onto a great engineer from Nashville who's up here, who's a brother, real young guy, really really good, and typical, you know. I got his demo CD. And, you know, I don't know about you, George, but there's something about Nashville engineers and the sound they get out of acoustic guitars.
Hmm. Yeah, they know how to do it, don't they?
They're massive.
Yeah.
And you go, how do they do that? It's like one guitar in the mix and it fills the entire room, you know? Anyway, he's very, very sharp guy. His name's Jim Kilgore, and... So we're just waiting for Jamie to wrap up the season, and then we're going to get the guys at Mercy Train back in the studio, and hopefully we'll have this second CD done, I'm hoping, sometime in, you know, by the end of March, and we're going to go after a deal.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff. Well, Skip, is Lighthouse going to be playing anytime soon in the near future here in Southern Ontario?
As a matter of fact, two things. We are playing up in Listowel on November 21st. It's a big... attention getter fundraiser it's the only school that I know of in the country that is actually trying to put together a guidance council room or members for kids that are interested in the trades.
Oh, good.
Mike Holmes was up there, he was up there at just before school got out, and you know, it's one of those things where, you know, there's tons of businesses out there, plumbing, electricians, mechanics, all that kind of, and they can't find people.
You know who talks a lot about that? A guy I've had on the show a couple times, John Ratzenberger. He's got a thing called the Nuts and Bolts Foundation, and he's basically saying, we're losing our tradespeople, man.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, so
I'm very interested. Is this guy have a website?
Yeah, if you type that in, Nuts and Bolts Foundation, you'll go right to John Ratzenberger. Of course, John Ratzenberger played Cliff Clavin on Cheers.
Yeah.
For the rest of you that don't know that.
I'm going to do that because there might be some information there, because I'm actually addressing Let's see, on the 12th, I'm actually addressing the student assembly about this whole thing, and it's kind of a tie-in to the concert coming up on the 21st and all that. So.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Well, Skip Prokop, I'm going to have you on the show again real soon, but we got to move on to George here. But I want to just say thanks for all the tunes. I can remember being out at the Forum watching Lighthouse. I remember visiting you in the hospital when you had your heart thing as a kid, which is just weird when we think back on that.
Yeah.
And seriously, you guys still, I saw you perform at the Port Credit, what's that called, Southside Shuffle or something
yeah.
like that? And you blew everyone away. Absolutely amazing. Still phenomenal tunes from Lighthouse. Of course, the old days of CFNY and The Rock and the Hard Place with yep. Skip Prokop, man.
Well, you know, and it's funny, George, because I was just talking to a couple of people that saw you recently, and I'm sorry, I can't remember where, but they said the same thing. They said, man, I can't believe this guy. I mean, he's still, like, rocking high energy.
Yeah.
Thanks, Skip.
Yeah.
You're the same about you.
Okay, buddy. Hey, listen, I'll let you go. You got to get on with it.
All right, Skip. Good to chat with you, man.
All right, blessings on you, George. Talk to you, Drew.
God bless.
Bye. All right. Skip Prokop from Lighthouse.
Isn't that good to hear from him?
Oh, it's great, yeah.
You didn't know I was going to do that.
Because we have a lot in common, Skip and I.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. All right, well, listen, let's get you singing here, man, live in studio. Why don't you set this track up here for us? Tell us a little bit about this tune.
Well, this is Gospel Song of the Year for the Maggio Awards, and... you know, there's some great tunes on the album. I'm proud of all of them. But this one seems to really strike a chord with everybody. It's just the basic belief in the blood of Jesus Christ.
All right. Well, live on the Drew Marshall Show, the one and only George Oliver.
I think of all he's done to save this unworthy son. It touches me. One day I'll know how much he cared for me, you, for me. I lift my head to the sky when I realize so then he came, suffered, died, then rose again. He saved me. He saved me. And every single sin is laid on only him. Now I have a friend through time that has no end. He died for me.
Died for me.
And soon I'll know how much he cared for me. And you for me. It brings tears to my eyes when I realize. I was alone, my soul condemned. So then he came, suffered, died, then rose again. He saved me. You know why? Because he loved me. And with a love that never slows, he justified. Into his hands, and he saved me. Oh, he saved me.
George Oliver on the Drew Marshall Show. Unbelievable talent. You know, I got to say that I don't want to call this exactly your golden years or anything like that, because I don't think that's accurate. But the reality is...
Yeah, watch it.
The reality is that I think you're probably one of the most underrated musicians out there today. I don't know why the world is not clamoring to your shows.
Well, you know, it takes hit records to really make a real... a noise, and because I'm a white black man up here in Canada, you know, I'm swimming up against the grain, but I love this kind of music, and I've been one of those people that have stuck with it. A lot of rock musicians that have made it in Canada have started out enjoying rhythm and blues, but they moved into a rock thing where I stayed with the music I love, so.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, George, all I've got is congratulations for you for the Maja Award. Is that how we say it? Maja? Maha? Maha?
Maja.
Maja. Okay. Well, good on you for that. Seriously.
Thank
congratulations.
You so much.
And you got to get down to Hughes Room on November 30th. That'd be a good gig to go to. And what's another gig they want to get to in the next little bit?
Well, I'm doing quite a few nightclubs. I'm doing the Jerseys out in Burlington. It's coming a week tonight.
Okay.
And that's West End. That's your neck of the woods.
Beautiful. Excellent. Well, I'm going to see you soon. That's for sure. And, folks, you will be entertained. I'm telling you right now, absolutely entertained. Get out to see some George Oliver, will you? Go to the website, georgeoliver.com. That's where you want to go. Thanks for your time, man. Appreciate
My
it.
My pleasure.
Good to have you
nice
here.
Nice to be here.
All right, folks, that's the end of the show. A little over time. Boy, it was a crazy day in the studio. We had the Toronto Mass Choir. We had Steve Bell. We had George Oliver. And we had Ashley Cleveland. What a lineup. I'm telling you. Boy, this is a good show. If you missed any of today's broadcast, you want to go to our website, drewmarshall.ca, and we will post all of those segments by Friday this week for your listening pleasure. And do me a favor, each and every week, it's an important, very important public service announcement. I drive down from the country into the city once a week. That's once too many for me. If you're new, please stay out of the left lane. Bye-bye.
Turn from the world, look for the sun, our Savior of bread.